Europe continues its dramatic post-Cold War transformation. After separate summits late last year, NATO and the European Union are both set for major eastward expansions in their membership. Perhaps most startling for anyone who remembers the old days is the list of nations being welcomed into NATO's military alliance. They include three former Soviet republics, Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia. Malcolm Brown reports on the new NATO and how America's permanent representative to the alliance sees its future.
For now, this is the official hymn of an organization binding 19 nations together. But all that is set to change. It was at a summit in Prague in November last year that NATO officially opened the door to seven countries from what used to be the communist bloc, including former members of the old Warsaw Pact, the very alliance that NATO stood against for decades. To read the list is to understand just how much has changed in Europe since the end of the Cold War. Bulgaria, Romania, Slovakia, Slovenia, and the Baltic states of Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia, which border Russia, have all been invited to join. They represent the second wave of NATO's eastward expansion, following in the footsteps of Poland, Hungary, and the Czech Republic. America's ambassador to NATO, Nicholas Burns, put it all in perspective during an address to staff and students at the School of Advanced International Studies at Johns Hopkins University.
We've now taken in former members of the Warsaw Pact and three constituent republics of the former Soviet Union in the last 5 years. This is a dramatic change in the European landscape. And coupled with the decisive step that the EU took at Copenhagen to bring in 10 new members, it means that the center of gravity of the two institutions that are fundamentally responsible for stability and for the future of Europe, NATO and the EU, has shifted eastward.
Critics of NATO's eastward march argue that the new members bring little to the table militarily, and that the expansion is turning the alliance into some sort of democratic club. But Nicholas Burns sees it very differently.
Actually, it really doesn't add much to the burden if you add of defending countries, if you add seven new members to the alliance. It gives you seven more countries from which to draw to fight the way we must fight, to deter the way we must deter.
Ambassador Burns points to the deployment of Romanian troops in support of combat operations in Afghanistan as an example of the political will and military capabilities provided by the incoming members.
These seven countries are tough countries because of their past, because of the fact that they've lived under very tough circumstances. They have a very hard-headed, and I say that positively, and realistic view of the world.
A worldview which will be rewarded with NATO membership by May of 2004, if all goes according to schedule. So much has changed in Europe that the question of whether Russia itself would ever want to join NATO is being asked, mostly by outsiders. Moscow has expressed no interest and has consistently opposed the alliance's eastern expansion, although Russia and NATO have signed a cooperation agreement. Few NATO members keep a closer eye on the way the wind is blowing in Russia than Poland. The Polish president, Aleksander Kwaśniewski, says much depends on the way Russians see their future place in the world.
The position of President Putin is quite clear because he's a man very much pro-European and pro-Euro-Atlantic oriented. But that is not majority in Russia. That is not majority thinking among Russian elites.
Other nations have made their minds up and are vying for NATO membership. The declaration issued by heads of state and government at the end of the Prague summit promises that the door will remain open to European democracies willing and able to assume the responsibilities and obligations of membership. Albania and Macedonia are both under consideration, and Croatia has been told that it will also be considered, subject to further reform and cooperation with the International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia. For Common Ground, I'm Malcolm Brown.